So what's been going on? I'll start from the beginning. Brian Kenny got into a spot of bother while he was hoping to be on his way out of prison.
I think his mask fell.
Yeah.
Finally. He proved me right.
Mm.
He proved me right in everything I said to the parole board and everything I've said to the state regarding his behaviour and the things he's done and continues to do. He was caught with drugs in prison, in an open prison that he was getting out on day release, overnight, going to see his wife, going to see his family. Like, I cried when the phone rang that day, when the person rang to tell me, like, he's going back in, he's going back to Weefield. And it was,
You're very relieved
and emotional, and just being ringing my man, ringing the family, and just saying, listen, it's okay. It's not okay forever, but it's okay for now. And I remember that moment, talking to my man, talking to the girls, because I worry about them, and it hasn't just affected me. It's also affected Jonathan, the family, his mum, his dad, his brothers, his sisters, and all mine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the murder of Jonathan O'Reilly by Brian Kenny and Thomas Henson has had such a ripple effect on so many people's lives. 19 years, and the threat level is just going to get... I'm scared.
Mm.
I am scared. Because on the left, I try and always say, like, I'm one part of me, I'm trying to just live my life, get on with things, like, be happy. But then I just constantly, it's never going to go away. Like,
this is The Witness, in his own words. Episode 11, The Parole Board.
So what's happened since? You got the phone call that he was going back to Weetfield, and not that long afterwards you heard he's going for parole again.
Yeah, he was literally only in, and then he was back in, I'd say a month or two, when he applied for parole. And when I asked what parole meant, they're looking to literally go in and sit down in front of these parole people and be told the door's open, off you go.
Mm-hmm. So you have to go in and appeal to them not to let them...
Yeah, I have to go in, and I have to go and sit in front of these people. I'll have to do it for Brian Kenny. Sit in front of the parole board and do everything in my power to convince them to keep him locked up.
And what happened today?
Today, Dolores and her husband, Dolores O'Reilly, Jonathan's mother, got to go in front of the parole board, and very emotional for her, which is obviously understandable. I spoke to her today briefly, and... as usual, as soon as she hears any time I ring, she was through the roof. She was excited, to be fair, delighted to hear from me. But then, as we spoke more about what happened, she was explaining, like, I heard it in her voice. I feel for her, like, at the end of the day, like, she lost her son. Like, it was hard, like, she didn't... You have to remember, like, that woman was sitting in traffic in a car thinking, what's the hold-up? And the hold-up was her son was just had to be murdered by Brian Kenny and Thomas Henson outside Cloverhill Prison. That's why she was stuck in traffic.
So did you tell her that you're going to go to the parole board?
She knows I'm going to the parole board. The parole board have been in touch. And
it must be a comfort to her that you have continued over all those years to be a support to her, to be always there, and to, you know, I mean, okay, you've your own reasons as well for not wanting them out. You're afraid of them too, but you're still supportive of her.
I do it because it's the right thing to do, and I just hope it was the other way around. If I was in Jonathan's place, someone would do it for my man. And I know the comfort she gets from the little relationship we have, from the phone calls, from when we do get to see each other. And she knows I'll always be there for her. I'll always do anything I can, anything I can do to help that family, I will do. Because nobody deserves what happened. Nobody deserves to die in that way. Nobody deserves to die in any way. But all I can do is do what I can keep doing, and I have my own stuff going on in my life. I'm trying to live a normal life, as I said, but I am not going to stop until it's over. Life should mean life. Do you know what I mean? They took a life. Do life. They think they're gangsters. They go on, they're going around like they're gangsters, smuggling drugs, doing all this. They chose this lifestyle. I didn't choose to be abused. I didn't choose for Kenny to do the things he done to me. I hanged you. I got a job in a milk round.
Mm.
They went out one day and decided they wanted to sell heroin. I didn't. I was selling milk. So stay where you are. I'm tired, but I haven't got that thing in me to give up.
Mm.
I will not give up. I just want to stay alive and I just want to be okay. And I just want peace. Evil, evil men.
Mm.
They need to stay where they are. But I need to get this flower board out of the way and I need to do everything I can to convince them. And it's not like going and putting on a performance because you don't need to perform. You just need to be honest and tell the truth.
Mm.
And I've done all right so far by being honest and telling the truth. Yes, I said that before. I've ended up in this situation by telling the truth. But do I have regrets? No, I don't have time for regrets. You can accept the decision I've made and move on and just deal with each day as it comes. There's no point in me sitting at home crying into my pillow. Sometimes, yeah, like some days it's so hard just to get out of bed. Like I'm lying there and I'm like, I just don't want to do today. But you have to get up, get in the shower, get dressed and get the fuck out and get on with it.
Is Mary gone?
My ma will be there as always. My ma will always be there to have me back and my ma will come and
Yeah. She'll
do her own letter and she'll have her say because she deserves to have her say. She's my rock.
My ma just sent me a message. She said, don't forget to pray, please. Bless her. My belief prayers answers everything. It's nearly 9:15. And obviously we can't tell people where we are. But we're getting ready and we're going to go into the parole board the 25th of July and we're going into the parole board in town to meet with the parole board face to face for the first time ever. It's a new way of doing things since last year. The new conditions have came in. You can actually go in front of the parole board and make your case as a victim to keep murderers like Brian Kenny and Thomas Henschel locked up.
How you feeling?
Truthfully, the last probably since yesterday, I just feel like it's probably gonna sound like a bit, I don't know, but I feel like crying. I don't know why, like I just feel really emotional. I don't know whether it's because for all these years it's just been, you just write a letter and send it. It's just kind of a formal thing. You send a letter, tell them how you feel and then just pray that everything's going to work out and they don't get pro. But this time, you're going to go in and sit in front of these people. And I think it's going to be more intimate and more, I think it's going to be upsetting. I'm probably very emotional. Yeah, I'm anxious and nervous. I'd like to sit here and say I'm not, but as I said, I woke up yesterday morning shouting, is it the 25th of July? Because I thought it was just that panic that's been on my mind and my sleep, like, but it's the unknown. It's going into the unknown. Obviously, you want to get the right result. You want to make sure they keep Brian Kenny in prison for as long as possible. Without sounding cocky, I think we kind of have one up in that sense because he got himself caught with cocaine and opiates in the open prison when he was given the opportunity. He was nearly released. So that showed 19 years later his mindset hadn't changed because he was still trying to deal drugs from an open prison and since then he's been moved back to Weefield, a secure prison. So that's the only positive going in today. You kind of feel like you have that little bit of to say, well, he done it himself. he gets the transcripts, they call it now, because I'm going into them, of what I say. So that's scary, because it's like that piece of paper, it's like the papers here that I have that I worked on to fill the pro board, what I'm going to say, and my ma, what she's going to say, and etc. But I'm after touching that piece of paper. And the thought of that going, because it will be, it'll either be photocopied or I don't want his hands touching the same piece of paper I touch. I don't want him touching anything. I don't want him touching me. I don't want anything like that. But there's nothing they can do. That's the rules. The rules are he gets to read and gets to listen to everything he wants to. Well, not everything he wants to, everything about the parole. So once it doesn't affect the security of myself and the family, and that's the important thing here. It's not as simple as it would be for a normal person. They could go in, everybody knows the situation. They know where the victim lives. And where mine is, I can't put everything into the letters. I can't go in there and just sit there and could be completely 100% and say, this is where I am and this is how I live, and because I'm afraid of him finding out. And then the result of that really is either death, yeah, or trouble, and I don't want either. I want him to stay in prison. And there's people that have done less than him that spent 40 years in prison. He's only done 19. We shouldn't even be going. We shouldn't be doing this because we're sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm trying to get on with my life. I'm trying to live. It's something I don't want to be involved with anymore. Him and this. Because I feel like it keeps dragging me back. But if I don't stand up and fight him, I don't know who will. If I don't stand up to keep him in there, I don't know who else is going to do it. It's not something I like doing. I need to put it out there. I need people to know what's going on. And I need people to be aware of what Brian Kenny is and what he's at. And the danger he is to me, my family, and society in general. Because mark my words, if he gets ill, he won't only be my problem. He'll be society's problem. So. Hopefully, me talking to these people in the Broad Bar is enough, and it's such an impact that they keep them locked up. Going there in person, I think it'd be more powerful. I think it'd be a bit more personal, and they'll get to see my face, they'll get to talk to me, they'll get to ask me any questions they want. My ma's coming with me. And we'll do it together, and we'll go in, and we'll do the best we can. Like it's not a performance. I'm not going to do it to perform like or anything. I'm just going to tell the truth, and it's worked out so far telling the truth. So let's keep telling it. To me, it's going in here today and getting the job done, and doing everything I can possible to keep him locked up. I really don't know what's going to happen. It is the unknown. Hopefully it works out in their best interests, and I got me kids to think about. It's not just me now. They're not babies anymore, so it's scary. But I hope it goes well today. Definitely feeling a bit emotional and a bit anxious, but I'm sure I'll be alright. I've been through worse, that's the way I look at it. But yeah, he shouldn't be on the street, so today is about keeping him off them.
Just should get ready.
And get dressed.
What time is it, Emery?
10:43. You have to stop meeting like this in. He says, I was going to get the bus in. I'm not people in. I just said, oh, here I go to drive in. I know around, and I knew where I could park, so I said, to hell with it, I'll find somewhere around. Yeah. So that's why I came in early. I just had to look around pennies, you know yourself.
Yeah.
The usual. Yeah, now here he is. So he needs to glow his water after his medication.
Sorry. The milk gets so dry from taking me tablets in the morning.
You all set?
Yeah, I'm nervous, I'm anxious. My mouth is dry, but
yeah, well, you just explained us to when you go in that it's your medication.
Yeah,
but there used to people being anxious, like yeah.
But, no, his mouth.
I know, yeah, but
they're used to that.
They're used to it, yeah. Have you got your?
I have the paper, I have the paper, we have everything.
Yeah, okay.
Right, ready? Let's go.
Okay.
See you when we have. Thank you, cheers, Ian.
Thanks
so much. To karma. I'm here to voice the strongest possible objections to this parole application by Brian Kenny. My name is Joseph O'Callaghan, and I was the chief witness in Brian Kenny's murder trial. I was 19 when I gave evidence against him, and I did that after years of psychological, physical, sexual abuse by him. I'm 38 years of age now, but despite counselling, psychiatric help, and the passage of time, I remain terrified of Brian Kenny and what I believe he has planned for me and members of my family if he is released from prison. He was convicted of murdering Jonathan O'Reilly, who was shot dead in 2004 and threatened to kill me, a threat that remains very much active to this day. I have received 3 official Garda warnings that my life is in danger since the parole hearing in 2020, at which point he was moved to Loughlin House, Open Prison. The first gym form was served to me in April 2020, the second threat to life to me I received was February 2021. I understand this was a direct result of the possible release of Brian Kenny from prison. While no GIM form names or details where the threat is coming from, I remain a detective person because of the risk to my life posed by Brian Kenny. He has killed before and I'm under no illusion, but he will try to kill me as soon as he is set free. The third GIM I received in recent years was October 2022, 8 months after Brian Kenny was caught with cocaine and opiates at Loughlin House Prison and was moved back to Weefield. This is an example that the man hasn't changed after 19 years and he is of the same mindset. In 2014, I made a series of statements to Gardaí about the rapes and sexual assaults that I was subjected to by Brian Kenny. I made those complaints after a huge amount of counselling. My understanding is that Brian Kenny was questioned at the time in prison, but refused to answer any questions or cooperate with investigators. I also understand he didn't deny any of the claims. In January 2016, I began a year-long residential treatment programme at the Priory Clinic in Wales, which was paid for by the Irish state as a direct result of the trauma I suffered at the hands of Brian Kenny and later my time in the Witness Protection Programme. The focus of that intense therapy was my anxieties, fears around Brian Kenny and the possibility of him being freed from prison. At that point, I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, which was directly linked to an incident I witnessed as a child when Brian Kenny attacked a young boy with a hammer. In September 2020, I released a book about my life called The Witness, and a year later, a podcast called The Witness in His Own Words. This is a huge achievement for me and has become a part of my healing process. In it, I describe the details of how Brian Kenny groomed me as a child when he offered me a job on his milk float. I detailed how I innocently looked up to him and saw him as a role model, but instead he won my trust and that of my family and began forcing me to deliver and sell drugs for him. I was terrified of Brian Kenny and remain in constant fear of him today. He beat me regularly. By the time I was a teenager, he was sexually assaulting me and raping me on a regular basis. He used and abused me at the same time, schooling me in robbery and wholesale drug dealing. When he and Thomas Henson murdered Jonathan Royle in 2004, they asked me to hide the gun, burned their clothes and threatened to kill me and my family if I ever bred a word of what they did. But I managed to escape. I went to the Gardaí and I told them what I knew. My actions have haunted me ever since. Not a day goes by that I don't dread the moment Kenny is free in prison. As the years have passed, I've received a huge amount of therapy in order to come to live with the level of fear I have of Brian Kenny. As a result, I have a solid understanding of how he groomed me and how dangerous he was and continues to be. I live under a new identity and in constant fear of the day he is released from prison. And I know 100% that he would truly try to murder me and silence me. I beg you with all my heart not to set him free and see what a threat he remains to my well-being and indeed the well-being and safety of my family. Brian Kenny has never admitted what he has done or shown any remorse. He has done nothing but continue to terrorise me from behind bars. And I pray you do the right thing today and refuse his parole, Joseph O'Callaghan.
So, you're in there a good while. How did you get on?
I was so nervous going in. Really nervous. I think the last time I was that nervous was giving evidence. I don't think I've ever been that nervous. Job interviews I've done since, nothing like that. It was really... I don't know what the word is. When we walked in and when we walked in, it was just real. Two people were standing there and they kind of nodded. We nodded back, went over. And I thought they were the people. But one of them was and one of them wasn't. And they brought us up to the room and then just felt real formal. I don't know, it was real uncomfortable at first. And then they done housekeeping, a bit of housekeeping, said what, how we're going to walk, what they were going to say and what we could say and what we couldn't say. I read a statement out that I'd read the statement out. And my ma read her statement out. And then they asked us questions. It was such a weird feeling because you kind of felt like for once you were actually being heard and listened to. And I know when Dolores done it, she did tell me that's how she felt as well. But I suppose you have to be there to see it yourself. Like there were three people in front of us and I think at least two of them definitely shed a tear. Like, and it was just from telling them my story, and that was it. And explaining to them about Brian Kenny and how he needs to stay where he is. They were very human, like, were very down to earth, and I think they were more shocked. They were very shocked, very blown away. I felt like saying sorry for upsetting you. I think I did, I think I said, I'm sorry, like, you want me to stop, like, but I didn't know what else to do. Like, they were saying, will you please tell us? So I told them, and I wasn't going in there looking for prayers. I was going in there to keep Brian Kenny in jail, and fingers crossed, that's what we've done.
We were made feel very, very welcome, and within 5 minutes of us being in the room, we were totally at ease, and it was amazing the fact that we actually got to sit across the table from these people, and they could actually see our, you know, facial reactions and how we felt. They listened and they never took their eyes off us when we were speaking. You know, they were like totally evolved around everything. You know, I said, Joseph said, as they said to us, you know, people go in there with mixed emotions. Some can be, you know, kind of agitated, and then others can be sad and reserved. And I think in our case, it's come to a stage that we've been fighting for all these years, it kind of makes you numb. The numbness comes with the fear and the waiting and the not knowing, is this going to go forward? And, you know, is he going to get this parole or is he going to be kept behind bars? And my worry is about Joseph and my family and my grandchildren. And, you know, I've lived my life, but it's their future.
Well, my case and Brian Kenny, it's never ending for me. And it seems to have been never ending since today I gave evidence. And they said we've taken that on board and we see that today, that this has not stopped for you. Like, it's every couple of years, like, you have a break and then he applies the next year and he keeps applying for parole. So that meant a lot. They could see that this has never stopped for us. And it may never stop. But if we know we're going to stay there for another 4 or 5 years, that's the peace we need and a break we need.
All he's done is made us stronger over the years. That's all he has done, is made us stronger and stronger. And every time he comes at us, we'll hit back. And just so grateful that we got to sit in front of the parole people today. Now we know we've been heard.
They asked me, what was I scared? I said, yeah, I'm terrified. I don't want to do it, I said. I want to live, like. I just told them straight, my fate really is in your hands. I felt heard for the first time. And I don't mean that. In the podcast, the whole country have supported us, and it's been amazing. But by an actual state body, like, I explained to them, I went to the Dáil and I met the minister there, and then to go there and to actually have
people in power that can make decisions, that can help me have a better life, help my family have a better life, and help the public and other people that have been affected by Kenny and what, and who could also be affected when he gets out of prison. Yeah, definitely felt hurt, and it was an amazing opportunity, and I wouldn't like to do it again all the time, but I'm glad I've done it. Yeah, I'm glad I've done it. And I hope that I've done enough. All I can do now is pray and wait.
The Witness, in his own words, is produced and edited by Ian Malini. The executive producers are Jane Gogan and Nicola Tallant. If you wish to contact the producers of this podcast, you can do so by emailing info@thewitnesspodcast.com.